For the past 3 years, the Ada County Sheriff's Office has been working with the MacArthur Foundation, a private foundation that supports building a more just and peaceful world. And one way to do that is by looking at our overcrowded jail and prison populations, as well as social justice. Through generous monetary awards, the Ada County Sheriff's Office is making some big changes. And joining me today to talk more about this is Director of Communication for the Sheriff's Office, Andrea Dearden, and the Office's Safety and Justice Coordinator, Kristen McLeod. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
The first question I have, for people who aren't familiar with the MacArthur Foundation, can you explain a little bit about what that foundation is?
Sure. This is a privately funded foundation that really, you know, has for many years looked at how to improve social justice. That's something that they are incredibly committed to. And they first looked at juvenile justice many years ago. And then after a stint of grants and offering grants in the juvenile justice system and looking at ways to better meet the needs of that system while improving, like you said, social justice and making sure that we're doing the right things for these children who have come into the system, they said, why are we not looking at the adult criminal justice system? Why are we not looking at managing? And really what they say is the overuse of our jails. Mm-hmm. Are we using jails in a way that is potentially causing more harm than good?
And that's where the foundation comes in.
Yes.
So 3 years ago, the sheriff's office applied basically for a grant, was chosen as one of a number of sheriff's offices around the country, correct, to take part in this. And it was a big undertaking because if I'm correct, you brought in public defenders, prosecutors, judges, law enforcement to come in and really dig deep into the system.
That was the first step. We wrote this grant in 2015 or in 2014. We were granted a planning grant and said, yes, you are one of 20 jurisdictions in this country that we want to really look at this and take a really deep look at your system. And that was the very first step, was mapping. Where is it that people come into the criminal justice system? Where are those kind of on-ramps, as we call them? And where are the off-ramps? How do we stop it from being a continual cycle? And what are those opportunities? And that included getting everyone from pre-arrest, so those are the folks who come into contact with people, our law enforcement, our community partners, and then all the way through booking them into the jail, our pretrial programs, the judges, the prosecutors, public defenders, and then all the way through post-adjudication. So looking at how do we manage probation? How do we manage getting people back out into the community in a pro-social way so that they don't end up back in that cycle?
And Kristen, how important is that? I mean, from what you do, when we talk about that cycle, right?
Right.
How do we make sure recidivism doesn't happen?
Well, I think that's what the grant is looking at, the system as a whole, and making sure that at each point we're working the most effectively and the most fairly and equally, and that we're serving our community the best.
And when the foundation came out, because they came and did like on-site visits and taking that deep dive, what were some of the things that they said, okay, you're doing right, but then what can you improve on?
You know, it's interesting because the foundation has given us the autonomy and the ability to look at our system and truly have recognized, they are very good at recognizing, this is your system. This is Ada County. This belongs to the people that live here, that work here, and it's really ours to decide. So they have given us much guidance and brought in many resources in order to help evaluate what we do and how we do it, but really have said it's up to you. And through that work, we've developed 7 strategies that we believe here in Ada County are very relevant and are going to be most effective at ensuring the right people are in jail, and that we are also making sure that we are protecting against racial and ethnic disparity that can exist in a system, you know, unintentionally, and also making sure that we are giving folks the best opportunity to avoid jail and also to be supported in the community in terms of mental health support, mm-hmm. You know, community resources that we know exist, making sure that we connect those dots, really a holistic approach.
And in fact, didn't you originally decide to do a community safety center, but then found that, well, the state is doing something like that? So where are you with that now?
Right. So the Crisis Center, Pathways Community Crisis Center, will be approaching their 1 year in operation in December of this year. And we've been collaborating with them through the beginning. And we're really hopeful that our data will show some really great effectiveness with diverting those people who are in crisis, who need more support with their substance abuse issues and their mental health issues, that they're getting the services they need. They're not costing emergency departments money. They're not in our jails. They're getting mm-hmm. the right services they need to stay out of jail.
Because, you know, in the past, we saw many people with substance abuse issues, and now we have an opioid crisis hitting the nation, but affecting Idaho, affecting Ada County. And those people were ending up in the jail. And that was a nationwide issue. But with the Pathways Community Center, with places like that, Kristen, is this where some of those people need to be instead of putting them behind bars?
Absolutely. Again, we just want to make sure that we're getting the right people in jail, the ones that are, you know, suffering from mental health issues and they're nonviolent, and again, substance abuse, and they're nonviolent. Let's get them the treatment that they need, and let's, you know, keep the violent offenders, the people that need to be in jail, those people will stay there.
I'm speaking with Ada County Sheriff Office's Director of Communication, Andrea Dearden, and the Office's Safety and Justice Coordinator, Kristen McLeod, talking about the MacArthur Foundation and the $1 million grant that they recently received, looking at promoting social justice, but also jail overcrowding and how we deal with that. One of the things that is in national news is why many people are in jail. One of the reasons is not being able to afford bail. And we see this nationwide, that if you can afford bail, you can get out, especially if it's a nonviolent offense. If you cannot, you are in jail and you stay there through your criminal court process. And that can be a long process. And we pay for that as taxpayers. That's something that you're looking at, correct, when it comes to this grant?
Yeah, we are. And that it's both prongs of that case processing, quicker case processing, mm-hmm. making sure that we don't have folks sitting in our jail waiting for, you know, the files to be transferred, the information to be shared in order to get into court. We are looking at that, making sure that can we use video court whenever possible to avoid the cost and the time to transport and get them on the jail calendar. Can we make sure that we're doing that effectively? And then also our pretrial programs, our ROR, the release on your own recognizance program. Are there more, as Kristen said, nonviolent, lower level, what we would call lower level offenses, the trespassing, the loitering, those kinds of offenses? Mm-hmm. Is it better served for the community to have those folks either out waiting for court, so working in the community while they wait for that court date? Or is it that they've already served enough time in jail? We found that we had people sitting in our jail longer than they would have served had they been convicted of the crime. And so we're what we call a jail sweep. We're looking for those specific instances where we can do that a little bit better, a little bit smarter.
And wasn't it June 1st you started a temporary change as well? And I believe it was anyone arrested on driving without privileges, with yes. a first to a third offense or a failure to obtain, maintain, and provide proof of insurance, they will, as you said, ROR. That's released yes. on their own recognizance. Tell me a little bit about why you decided to look at this. And we call it a temporary program because the Idaho Supreme Court did approve this as a pilot project.
So we wanted to provide evidence that a charge with a bond amount of $500 compared to a charge with a bond amount of released on your own recognizance has no statistical difference in court appearance rate.
Interesting.
So we are right now kind of at the point where we're analyzing the data and looking to see the outcomes.
And so far, I believe I read in an article from your website, you have 32 people so far who have been ROR'd on this. And so it is about getting that data, correct. Kristen?
Mm-hmm.
Because once you have the data,
yep.
then you can go
right
to the state and say, okay, this is a change that
yes.
we can actually make.
It's important for us, for the community, to trust us, that to trust us that we are doing the right things for the right reasons in the right way. And we know that that relies on good, accurate, reliable data. So with all of these, I mean, it is incredibly important to the MacArthur Foundation, as well as our agency, and all of the partners that we have involved in this, that we look at correct, accurate data to say, is this working? And are there any unintentional impacts that we haven't thought about? And that's something that we want to be very wise to and very smart about. And so that's why we're including everyone across the system to make sure that everyone who has a vested interest in this understands what we're doing, knows what we're doing, and is a part of it, and is a part of all of those decisions and looking at the data to say, is it doing what we thought it would do? Or should we be doing something differently?
Because there are many people who might be thinking, like, what do you mean you're going to release people from jail? They were arrested. You're going to release them from jail. And when you have that scientific data, when you have that research, and you are being transparent, you can look and say, there are people in jail who are not best served being in jail. And I'm sure, Kristen, you've seen that with the work that you do. But there are people that need to be in jail as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We just want to show that those folks that have made a mistake, it's, you know, again, they're not a risk to the community's safety, and they will show up to their court appearances. We want to, you know, base that information in validated risk assessments and making sure that it's, again, the right people that we're letting out. And so those people have a chance to continue their lives, continue with their employment, be there to support their family, and kind of not get more roped into the justice system and not able to get out and continue to be productive.
And be productive members of society.
Exactly.
I am continuing my conversation with the Ada County Sheriff's Office regarding new innovations they're making to try to reduce jail populations, but at the same time promote social justice. For the last 3 years, they've been working with the MacArthur Foundation. It is a private foundation that supports building a more just and peaceful world. And joining me in studio is Ada County Sheriff Office Director of Communication, Andrea Dearden, and the office's Safety and Justice Coordinator, Kristen McLeod. Thanks for sticking around and talking more about this.
We're happy to.
Yes.
So let's talk about Andrea, you mentioned this quickly about jail sweeps, and this is something that public defenders as well as the city and county prosecutors are doing. Explain what that is and why the need to do it.
So what we realized were that we had some low risk, what we would call low risk inmates, folks who were defendants waiting in our jail, waiting for that case to be processed. And what we found through a look at our data was that they had served more time in our jail, spent more time waiting for the case than they would have if they had already been processed and been sentenced. So someone, you know, maybe on in our jail for 30 days when they really would have only spent, say, 15 in jail if they had been convicted of the trespassing and the loitering. So what we did was we set up a group of folks to look at these cases very specifically and say, bring in the judges, bring in the prosecutors, bring in the public defenders, and say, are these folks who we believe would be better served if we went ahead and completed their cases? So that saves us jail time. We're looking at, you know, $97 a day that we are spending to house someone in our jail. There is no reason for them to be sitting there longer than they need to be.
Than what their sentence
Absolutely.
Would be.
Yeah. And these are low-level, mostly nuisance crimes. Again, loitering, trespassing,
right.
Things like that.
And people who can't afford to post their bond.
And that's what it comes down to. Because if you get a low-level loitering ticket and you or mom and dad can pay that, you're going to be out of jail.
Yes.
But if you can't, you will sit there until your court case is heard.
If you're out, you know, in the community, you're going to school or you're going to work, that 2 months, 3 months, if that's what you wait to go back to court to have your case adjudicated, that's not a big deal because you haven't been destabilized. So you haven't, you know, you're not losing your job or losing the income, not supporting your family. For someone who is in the facility and sitting and waiting for that to happen, that's a significant difference. And so, and we're all, again, we're paying for that time. So, yes, absolutely. That's a huge piece for us. Now, it's also not a huge piece of our population. We know that those are dozens of inmates. We're not talking about hundreds of them.
Mm-hmm.
So we also have to look at, are there other people like the ROR where avoid putting them in jail in the first place? Can they be out in the community and being supportive, productive, safe members of our community while that process happens as well.
And this goes back, Kristen, to the whole idea of social justice, right? When you're talking about someone who has a low-level crime, who would have served a certain amount of time but has served that time by waiting for their court case. Mm-hmm. And yet they can't pay bond.
Right.
And this has a trickle-down effect. And what people may not understand is that if they are sitting in jail for 2 to 3 months waiting for their court case, they will lose their job because more than likely, they're also probably at a minimum wage job.
Right.
And then if they have kids and then they can't support their children, you see this, right?
Yes. I mean, the impacts can be excruciating to those families and to the person involved who just made a mistake. And if we can, again, get them back into the community and back to being productive and keeping their employment, supporting their families, it's better for the community. It's better for everyone here in Ada County.
And we have a listener question, and they're saying, what is a – and you may or may not be able to answer this, though. I think this is for prosecutors, but I'm going to throw it out there since a listener asked. What can someone do when they are in jail and they say, you know, a prosecutor may not want to basically, you know, they're the ones who are maybe holding up the case. And what we mean by that, what the listener is asking, is they're not cooperating.
When the prosecutor's office is not comfortable with allowing the person
Correct.
To get out of jail, this is a collaborative effort. And so it does. You're right. I mean, some of that needs to be answered by the prosecutor's office in each case. But they are at the table. They are a part of this process. They attend the meetings. They talk about these system changes that we can make. And they are, they are a part of the conversation. And so certainly that is something that we listen, you know, we hear from folks in our community who say, if do the crime, serve the time.
Oh, right.
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 You did this. This is the consequence. That's what you do. And we recognize that and appreciate and respect that opinion. We also have to look at, as you suggested, the risk that is wider spread than potentially the risk to reoffend or, the risk to the community in terms of you did something wrong, now we need to punish you. Jail is really, that first arrest, that arrest and that bond is really meant not as a punishment. It's not meant to be punitive. It is, in fact, meant to make sure that you go to your court date. And we absolutely believe that that's exactly what should happen. But in the time that's spent between that arrest and the time of that court case being adjudicated, what does that look like?
Right. And one of the things that you found, which I think this is fascinating, is a new notification system. Because when you did this deep dive with the MacArthur Foundation, one thing that you were finding was that people were not all people were going to their court cases, and that was because they didn't know or they didn't know where to go. So talk to me a little bit about that.
Our number one charged crime, the highest number of bookings into our jail, is on a failure to appear, which means that you did not show up to your court date. That's 18% of our jail population, of our bookings that go into our jail. I know that if I don't get some sort of alert from my dentist or my hairdresser, if I don't get an alert, I forget. Always remember that I have an appointment. Exactly. And so that's become pretty commonplace. We recognized first that how do we avoid these failure to appears? How do we get people to court? And we did a survey of inmates and we asked, why didn't you show up? Everyone booked in on an FTA. Why weren't you here? Because I didn't want to, because I didn't know about it, because I didn't have transportation. We looked at that and we realized that notification was going to be a big piece of this. And so we have started a notification system. You can sign up online. You can sign up at the clerk's office. And it will simply be a text or email reminder to say, this is your court date. This is when you need to be there. And we believe that that will have a tremendous impact on that FTA, those FTAs, those failure to appears, because we believe that at least now we will be able to say, we alerted you, we let you know, and avoid all of that, I just simply forgot, I didn't know.
Well, and then you have, once again, data to back it up. So you can go back and say, we texted you, we emailed you, you did not appear. So then finding out, is there an issue with transportation, or did they just not want to go to court? That has to play into the conversation as well.
Sure. And you mentioned mistransportation. We've actually added a layer with the grant, a position a case manager with a public defender's office who's providing enhanced services to clients of the public defender. If they have an upcoming court date, they're working with them. What barriers do you have to get to court? Childcare. Okay, here's a resource. Or transportation. Great, here's another resource. And working with them to address those barriers to get them there. So there's an added layer on top of the text notification system.
And in fact, with this $1 million grant that you've received, 8 new positions are coming on board?
It's a total of 8, yes.
And so 2 of those are the case management positions within the public defender's office, correct, in the Ada County Public Defender's Office?
So there's 1 case manager with the public defender's office that I just mentioned, providing those enhanced services to the individuals. And then my position is grant-funded also. So I'm, really trying to coordinate and manage all that's involved with the grant. And we have a safety and justice analyst, and she is our data guru. She is collecting, analyzing, tracking, pulling together all that data for our stakeholders and community partners and the foundation. And we have a clerk with the clerk's office who came on board to manage that text notification system, which is great. And there are a case manager and a technician that we brought on board under our pretrial release program. And then we have 2 more positions that we have slated currently for an additional clerk with our court clerk's office and an additional pretrial technician. So.
You know what's interesting about this, too, is you think about the notification, right? Because, Andrea, you're so right. I think in the time we live in, especially with how busy lives are, if you don't have a notification for something, we are all guilty of missing things.
Sure.
And this seems so simple, yet it was missed. And is that kind of part of the reason why you have some representatives from the MacArthur Foundation coming in and having you do a deep dive into your system?
It was the very first thing that we said when we went into this grant application. It was Sheriff Bartlett, who was Captain Bartlett at the time, now Sheriff Bartlett, said, coming into his position as sheriff, he said, we are going to absolutely look at what we need to be doing better. We have the MacArthur Foundation to back us and to help us and to provide this funding, private dollars to go to this work. Wonderfully helpful. However, he has committed from day one that we are going to make sure that whatever we're doing, that we look real closely at making sure that we're doing it right. And yes, we are just as within, you find, you dig in and you find some of the simplest things that can make the biggest impact. And that's been the benefit of bringing everyone together. And it was the grant that really pushed us in the direction to do that.
And very quickly, I wanted to quickly talk about, you mentioned a disparity that we see unintentional, but in particular in the Ada County Jail Native and African American inmates. So you're looking into that, and is one of the things you're doing is the Idaho Peace Officers Standards and training. That's a proposal?
We are proposing and are implementing and have begun our work on implicit bias training. So making sure that folks are not unintentionally implicitly biased in their interactions with folks, and also really looking even more substantially looking at the system as a whole. So we're not talking about people intentionally making decisions based on someone's race or ethnicity. But is there something, a process or a procedure or something that we've done that has either because of access to resources or because of communication barriers or because of cultural differences, are we somehow setting us up to create exacerbate a racial and ethnic disparity in our inmate population? And once we determine that through data, we're looking really closely at that. And if we find a problem, what does that look like and how do we correct that? How do we make that right?
Well, I really appreciate you two coming in and talking about this today. I think it is a needed conversation to have and also our community understanding how this is working. So thank you for coming in, being transparent, talking about this.
Happy to discuss it.
My guest today, Andrea Dearden, the Director of Communication for the Ada County Sheriff's Office, and Kristen McLeod, Safety and Justice Coordinator for the Ada County Sheriff's Office.